have your Bibles, the book of Psalms, chapter number 21. Book of Psalms, chapter number 21. And I feel that the Lord has given me a word for this evening, and I'm very much looking forward to what God is going to do. And if you've walked in here tonight feeling weary, and I've heard people say, well, how can you feel weary after a conference? How can you feel weary after all that God did? It's very easy. Because life happens. Life happens. But the best part about it is that God factored all that into it when he gave you a prophetic destiny, when he gave you a word, when he said he's going to do something. God factored all that into it. So this evening, book of Psalms, chapter number 22, Psalms 21, verse number 11, it says, for they intended evil against you. For they intended evil against you. They devised a plot which they were not able to perform. And then it states, for they intended evil against you. They devised a plot which they were not able to perform. Therefore, you will make them turn their back. You will make ready your arrows on your string toward their faces. And then it finishes up with this, be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing your and praise your power. Another translation has it like this, although they plot against you, their evil schemes will never succeed, for they will turn and run when they see your arrows aimed at them. And then it states, rise up, O Lord, in all your power. With music and singing, we celebrate your mighty acts. I don't know about you, but when I read this scripture, this gives me excitement to know that the Lord is on my side. And I know that we go through life, and I know that we've got a lot going on, but I have come simply to tell somebody tonight, the title of what I would like to preach for the next few moments is, it's time to praise. It's time to praise. And before we go any further, let's just clap our hands. Let's just lift our voice right now. Let's just thank the Lord for all that he is and all that he can do and all that he will do. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you tonight. We love you tonight. It is easy at times in our lives when the enemy comes in to feel like we are losing. Now, I don't know about you. If you're competitive, let me see a show of hands tonight. If you're competitive, let me see a show of hands. There's a couple of you. Now, out of those competitive people, if you're willing to lose friends at a game night, let me see those same show of hands. There's a couple of you with hands raised. That's right, Brother Aaron. I feel a witness in here tonight. However, it is not fun to lose. And I will give you an example of this. And I've shared stories about how I played sports, and basketball was my primary sport. I played soccer, but I wasn't very good. I was just the tallest kid in the school, and they needed somebody to play goalie. And they figure if they put the tallest kid in goalie, it will be harder for the opposing team, to make shots. Let me just tell you how bad my team was. I played 1 year soccer, 1 year. And in 1 year, I set the state record for saves attempts. That's not very good, considering the fact that most of the people that were on that list played 4 years of soccer. In 1 year, I had more shots coming at me than most people had in 4 years combined. I didn't enjoy it all that much. I love soccer. I love watching it. I love somewhat playing it. But I did not enjoy getting the ball drilled at me no less than 20 times a game. And if you're facing 20 shots a game, and if you've watched soccer, you know that is a lot of shots coming at you. Wasn't very fun. Now, basketball on the other side, and I've told some stories about that, we were pretty good. However, there was this one team that we could not beat, and they were Hackensack Christian. And this particular school had a kid on their team that was a senior 3 years in a row. I'll let you do the math. That's not normal. But this kid, because he was a senior 3 years in a row, when the rest of us were 15, 16, 17 years old, this kid had his 20th birthday in high school. He was a lot bigger, he was a lot faster, and just a whole lot better than us that had a bunch of scrubs, 16-year-old freshmen, 17-year-old sophomore, whatever it is, on our team. And his name was Dan Jones. And so we played them. And I'll never forget the first time we played at their gym. Their gym was tiny. Oh, it was tiny. And like the court was like right here and the seats were right here. And I'll never forget it was hot in there and there were way too many people. If the fire department would have come, they would have shut us down. Let me just say it that way. And it was the first time, like, I was so excited. I was all juiced up. Now, mind you, this was like my fifth game playing in high school, and I hadn't scored a single point up until this time, which if you're not scoring points in five games, you're not doing so hot. And I'll never forget the coach before the game, he's like, Nathan, he's like, I need you to look at that basket and just envision the ball going in four times tonight. And I'm standing there, I'm like, Coach, the ball hasn't went in 100 times in five games for me. It's not working. So the ball finally went in that night. I scored some points. But this guy, Dan, he was a big guy, and he was guarding me on one play. And I'm like, all right. And I scored right in his face. Oh, it felt so good. It felt so good. I was like, man, I just scored on a 20-year-old. Like, man, this is good. I'm ready to go play in the pros at this point. And so we went on to lose the game terribly. We continued to play them. We played them three times that year. And each time we lost, it was worse than the previous time. The first time was by like 10, let's say. The next time by 20. The next time by 30. And it was horrible. And our coach, the last time we played them four times that year in total. And the last time we got there, we're sitting there in our locker room. And the coach walks up to us and he goes, now listen, I want this locker room. What would you guys do if you won tonight? What would you do? And we all just kind of sat there and looked at each other. We weren't sure if this was a trick question or not, because if we won, we were going to trash the locker room. Like, that was our goal. Like, we were going to have a lot of fun. We were going to pour the Gatorade on each other. It was going to be wonderful. And we were just kind of like, man, is he serious? And he looks at me. He's like, no, I'm serious. He goes, if you guys were to win tonight, what would you do? And we were like, for real? And he's like, for real? So one kid, who probably shouldn't have done this, took the Gatorade thing and dumped it all over the locker room before we even started the game. Now, mind you, we had no Gatorade left the rest of the game. But what he did was he dumped the Gatorade on the coach. And so we're sitting there and we're like, man, this is what? Like, what are we doing? We went out there that night and absolutely annihilated them. And halfway through the game, the coach is saying, I just needed you to believe that you could do what is in front of you. And it's simple, but it changed our mindset to realize that there can be victory and we can have wins when it seems like everything is wrong. It seems like we've never beat them before. We've got this imaginary opponent now that's on top of all this. But the coach looked at us after we were all done. He said, I want you to go out there with that same energy and realize that you can beat these guys. And when we get it in our mind that maybe it's just time to praise and to let God know that we're thankful, that when we have battles, when we have things, that we can still praise God. And so it's easy to praise God when things are good. It's easy to praise God when things are good. When things are not so good, it's harder to praise God. But the psalmist here, David, was writing this, and most scholars believe this was after a battle against several tribes. And they believe that he was writing this not to show that it was his military power, but rather to show the goodness and the favor of God. And so he opens it up with, for they intended evil against you. And this word, this phrase, doesn't mean. It means to be stretched out or to be drawn out. What he was saying was that they really thought about how they were going to catch us. They really thought about how they were going to try and defeat us. And if you study this out in this particular battle, what the historians tell us is that the enemy laid snares all along the way to try to catch David. Let me just tell you, the enemy will do his very best to lay out a well-orchestrated attack in your life. It's never just one thing. It's a series of small things to try to get you to mess up, to try to get you tripped up. And the enemy continually works overtime because he understands that if he can get you to mess up a little bit here and a little bit there, we can get discouraged real quick. Or he'll send somebody by to say this or to say that or to do this or to do that. It's a well thought out plan by the enemy. And I believe it was Brother Herring who said it, that, you know, the enemy is not dumb. We like to say the devil isn't. No, he's not dumb. He knows what works and what doesn't work. And so he'll lay out a plan, a battle plan, that's if we can get this here, if we can do that here. And listen, for those of you that have been in the army, those of you that have gone to war, you know how it works out when you lay out a well laid out plan. Things work out in your favor most times. But the enemy will lay out a plan and he'll say, well, we'll do this here, we'll do that here. But the Bible says that though they intended evil against you, that would lead us to believe that though they intended it, that though the enemy tried to get you to mess up, they devised a plot, but then it states they were not able to perform. Why? Because God's hand was with them. His hand was upon them. And I've come simply to remind somebody tonight that the enemy may try his very best to lay out a well laid out plan. It may look like it's perfect in his eyes, but when you have got God on your side, though they tried to lay out a plan, though they tried to disrupt everything, though they tried to hurt you, God says, you're on my side and I've got a better plan, because I see the very end all the way through the beginning. The devil can't see all of that, but when you've got God on your side, you can make it. And so the enemy tries to lay out this plan, a well laid out plan. He tries to get you here, tries to get you there, but the Bible states that though they tried, they could not succeed. They could not perform it. Why? Because God was with his people. That same God in the book of Psalms, in the book of Genesis, in the book of Exodus, whenever it was, wherever it was, in the book of Acts, that same God is with you and I tonight. So when the enemy tries to lay out a plan of disruption, of pain, of hurt, let me just remind you that God is still with you. And so we look at this narrative and how this applies to our life, and we look at time and again, and it states that their schemes, the alternate translation of that, for they will turn and run when they see your arrows aimed at them. So not only does it state that they will plot evil against you, but there is some action on our part that is required, and that is to stand. You're not going to make it very far in this particular narrative if you're trying to scare off an enemy with God behind you, if you're laying down and rolling over. No. It states that when you turned, your arrows, your strings, your bows were pointed directly at their face, which means you were standing eye level with the enemy. The enemy would love nothing more than to get us down at a place where we say we don't know what we're doing, we don't know where we're at, and we're just lower ourselves. And listen, I'm not talking about in prayer being on your knees. I'm talking about where we are curled up saying, God, I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. But the enemy says, look, I can handle that. But when God's saying, look, I need you to stand up. I need you to square your shoulders up and to just know that if you stand, I've got your back. Because when you stand, your bow's pulled back. When you stand, your arrows are ready to go. And when you do that, I can work with that. And so God was telling them, listen, I am with you. I will lead you. I will guide you, but I need you to stand. And so they stood. And so the Bible states that they turned and ran because they were afraid of what they saw. When they see your arrows aimed at them, your strings toward their faces. But for the next few moments, this is where I want to just spend just a moment and preach this evening. It states, be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power. And so we understand that the Lord was able to provide victory. We understand that the Lord protected his children time and time and time and time again throughout the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament. And we know that when the time of troubles came, that the Lord told his people that there would be a time. Jesus told them that there will be a time of trouble. There will be in the last days, they will persecute you, is what Jesus told them. But he told them that I will be with you, that I will send you the comforter. And so as the Lord began to speak and as the Lord began to deal with his people throughout the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament, there was one common thread, and that is that I will be with you in the time of trouble. In fact, it's found in Isaiah 54 and 17, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. He tells them that there will be times when people rise against you. There will be times when people come against you. There will be times when those try to do evil and cause harm to you. But just know that I am with you. And so he lays it out so beautifully through the Old Testament. But he always, in the book of Psalms, there is this one common thread that David leaves every single time, and that is that we will praise. He tells them that we're going to praise the Lord for his wondrous works. He tells them that we're going to praise him. We're going to lift up our voice. He says, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. David leaves us with this thread that, listen, even though you are in the midst of a battle, it is still a good time to sing and to praise God. Even though you are in the midst of a trial, it is still a good time to sing and to praise God. He tells them that it's good to praise. He tells them, let everything hath breath praise ye the Lord. In the last five books of the book of Psalms, he goes through and it is littered with the idea of praise. And so why do we praise God in the midst of our adversity? And I will just make a statement that you want to know who knows how to get a God, look for the praisers. They know how to get a hold of God. Look for the praisers. Those that know how to worship, look for them. They know how to get a hold of God. And so they see this, and we see this throughout the Old Testament, that it was the praisers, those that knew how to worship, that God would look down from the portals of heaven and see them exactly where they're at. It was David that when the Ark of the Covenant was coming back, the Bible tells us that David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And it was Michal, his wife, who took issue with the way that the king was dancing. And she said that there's no way that a king should be dancing like this. But David said, you don't know what the Lord has done. It's been too long since the presence of God has been departed. It's been too long since the most holy thing that we have, the Ark of the Covenant, has been departed. It is time to praise. And could it just be that in the midst of our battles, in the midst of our dilemma, in the midst of everything that's been turned upside down, it's just time to praise God for who he is and for what he can do? And so, even in spite of Michal looking down at David, and don't forget, Michal's only narrative was seeing that of Saul, a man who was vexed by spirits, a man who was vexed, and the only thing that could calm him was when David came and sang. That was her narrative. And so her narrative for excitement was seeing a dad that didn't understand how great God is. This was a dad who had God forsake him, and he had to go to the witch at Endor to try and get a word from God. Let me just tell you, not everybody that's around you is going to celebrate what God is doing in your life, but it's still the right time to praise God and to say, in the midst of my trial, in the midst of my situation, I'm going to praise, I'm going to worship. So David says, Michal, you don't understand. So there's this idea that praise matters, that worship matters. And I would take it a step further, that those that know how to praise and those that know how to worship usually aren't trying to stir up any drama, because all they want to do is worship and praise our great God. They're the ones that want to run around. They're the ones that want to shout. They're the ones that want to lift up a voice. Let me just tell you that when you find the right time to praise God, which is always, you will know and you'll be able to say, you know what? Hey, look, everything may not be perfect in my life, but I'm going to praise and I'm going to worship. And lastly, the praisers and the worshipers do it and celebrate with other people when they get the wins. You want to get God's attention? Start celebrating when someone else gets what you're trying to get after. When someone else gets a promotion, why don't you celebrate with them instead of saying, woe is me, and just say, God, if you did it for them, you can do it for me, and I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to dance. I'm going to shout. And so we see that there is a common thread of those that praise, those that worship. And even in the midst of it, David, in the midst of some of his darkest moments, he still cries out to God and praises and worship in the darkest of moments. In the very next chapter, you can read through Psalms 22. And David opens it with, my God, why have you forsaken me? But he litters the chapter with the things. Verse number 25 states, my praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before him, before those who fear him. And he continues on and he walks through and he says that even though I feel like you forsaking me, I will still praise you. And perhaps that's where you're at. Maybe you're not in Psalms 21. And I understand these were written at different times. Maybe you're fresh off a battle and a victory and a season and a trial, and you're able to say, just like David, oh, Lord, I'll worship you. Oh, Lord, I'll praise you. Oh, Lord, you're so holy. Oh, Lord, you're so worthy. Oh, Lord, you're so good. But maybe you're in between, and maybe you're stuck at Psalms 22, and you feel like, my Lord, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But even in those moments, it is still the right time to praise. When you don't feel like it, and it feels like you're trying to lift your arms with 1,000-pound weights attached to your arms, it's still the right time to lift your hands and total surrender and worship God. When you feel like the shame, the guilt, and everything that's going wrong in your life, it feels like it's pulling you down, it's still the right time to say it's time to praise and worship God. And so David gives us this narrative, and he wraps up 21 with this. Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power. And so as David writes through the books, he finishes up and he states in Psalms 22 and 31, they will come and declare his righteousness to a people who he will be born, that he has done this. He continues this idea that even in the right, even in the wrong, yeah, when things are good, when things are bad, it's still the right time to praise. And so we understand that the Lord is with us. We understand that God is for us, that he's fighting for us. But where the Lord is looking for us to put into action is to praise, to worship, to stand. When everything else is falling, stand. When you've done all you can do, you just continue to stand. And so the Lord spoke to his people. He spoke to the Old Testament, through the Old Testament, through the prophets, and through the leaders, and through kings, and all of these things. He spoke to his people. And there was one theme. Love the Lord, thy God, with all thy heart. Don't ever forsake me. He said, because if you stay with me, I will lead you. I will guide you, and I'll be with you. And so we fast forward to the New Testament, Jesus comes. He tells his disciples to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And then he tells them that when persecution comes, I'll be with you. When problems come, I'll be with you. The caveat is that you've got to stay by my side. And when you stay by his side, it's always the right time to praise, because when you're by the Lord's side, you can look at it and say, you know what? There he is. Our Savior is hanging on the cross as the disciples did. They were worried. They were afraid. They didn't know what to do. Jesus had told them exactly what was going to happen. But then Jesus shows up again, and they realize that everything that he said is going to come to pass. And here they are on the day of Pentecost. They begin to pray. They begin to seek God. They're wondering where God is. They said, Jesus told them to wait and wait there. And they're praying and waiting. And all of a sudden, there comes a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it fills the place where they're sitting. What's happening? They're in the midst of a prayer room. They're in the midst of having an altar call. They're in the midst of seeking God. It was the right time. It was the right moment to pray and to worship. And when they did, the whole house was shaken. And so as we look at the right time to praise, it's always the right time to praise. And so as God began to deal with me about this, and as I looked back over my life, and as I looked through times in my life when I was in valleys, when I was in low places, when I was hurting, when I was broken, all I could think about were those moments where I found myself on my face seeking God, praying and saying, God, I've done all I know how to do. The only thing I left to do, and that's just to continue to praise you. It's all I know. It may not make sense to others, just as it didn't make sense to Michael, but sometimes you've just got to praise God when it doesn't make sense. And David is saying, hey, look, we've seen the battles won. We know that we're going to praise you after every victory, but we're still going to praise you even when it feels like you've left me all alone, when it feels like everything's gone wrong, when my family's turned their back on me. I'm still going to praise you. So as they began throughout the Old Testament, they began to praise God. It was as they were leaving Egypt that they sang songs of praise. And we know the rest of the story. They had some troubles along the way. And the walls of Jericho fall. Praise. They began to praise outside the walls. And throughout the Old Testament, it's littered. Jehoshaphat is standing there. He's got an army in front of him. And the only thing he knows how to do, he says, we're going to call a fast and we're going to sacrifice. And the Lord says, stand and watch. I'll fight your battles. The Lord goes out. And the very next verse says that God wipes out the entire enemy, and all of a sudden the people of Israel, Jehoshaphat and all the people, just begin to praise God for who he is. Throughout the Old Testament, there's victory after victory after victory, and we see time and again where the people just had to stand and watch God do it. And the Bible tells us in this narrative that they didn't fire their bows. That's not what it says. It says that when your bows were pointed at their face, when they turn, they will see your arrows aimed at them. And I'm sure that they let go some arrows that day. I'm sure that they did. But the Lord was with them. When they were outnumbered, the Lord was with them. When they were no way in a strategic advantage, the Lord was with them. Why? And I believe that it was because the children of Israel, David, throughout the Old Testament, they understood that it was the power of praise that could see them through. And I'm not talking about when they were out shouting and jumping around, but throughout the book of Psalms, it is David simply praising God for who he is. Just simply making his boast in God. And sometimes the greatest victories you're ever going to see are just by praising God for who he is. You might not have a whole lot to thank God for in your situation. You may be sitting there saying, God, I don't know how you're going to bring me out, but I'm just going to praise you because you're still a prayer answering God. Amen. And when you praise him for who he is, you get his attention. It's like when you compliment somebody, man, you look nice tonight. Their ears perk up. They want to hear more. Tell me more. You smell great. Oh, tell me more. Your shoelaces are phenomenal. Tell me more. It's the same way with God. Oh, God, I love you tonight, Lord. I thank you that you put gas in my car. I thank you that you put a roof over my head. He's sitting there saying, tell me more. And when you begin to tell God who he is and all that he's done for you, you get his attention saying, God, I know that you were there. You protected me this day and this day, God. There are times that you protected me that I don't even know about. But thank you, Lord. There are times that you fed me that I didn't even know about. But thank you, Lord. It's always the right time to praise God. It's always the right time to make your boast in him. It's always the right time to lift up his name and say, Lord, we thank you that you are the Alpha, that you are the Omega, that you're the beginning and the end. I thank you, Lord, that you've never lost a battle. You will never lose a battle. I thank you, Lord, that you've been my way maker, my miracle worker. I thank you, Lord, that you are the beginning and the end. I thank you, Lord, that you're the creator. When you start to thank God for who he is, you capture his attention. And David litters the book of Psalms with nothing but praise for God. He talks about who he is, talks about what he is. And he's telling us that it is time to praise. And as the musicians come tonight, and so he continues on in the New Testament, we read, we've all talked about it, we've all heard it preached about Paul and Silas. And they praise and sing praises unto God in the midst of their dilemma, in the midst of their problem. But here, we fast forward to where we are. I don't know what you've walked in here with tonight. I know some stories, I don't know all of them. But I know this. I know that if you want to capture God's attention, if you want God to look down from the portals of heaven right now in this moment, you just begin to thank God for who he is. If you don't know the attributes of God, if you don't know who he is and his personality, just look through the Old Testament, look through the book of Psalms, and you could see time and time again that the writers continually tell us who he is. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's Jehovah Nisi. He's my provider. He's the great physician. If you don't know what else to praise him for, just thank him for being God. And so, it's time to praise. This idea is that when we come into problems, when we come into valleys, when we come into trials and situations, there are going to, as we heard this week at Passing the Mantle, that there are going to be some prisons that you've just got to figure out and endure while you're there. There's going to be some times that the Lord is sitting there and he's working his best, but you may not always see it and you're wondering where God is. But let me just tell you, if you can learn to praise in those moments, God will be with you. So as we stand this evening, as I think about my life and I think about what the Lord has done for me, and I think about where he's brought me from, I look back at key moments in my life, and I look back at times of adversity, and I look at times where I was wondering if God was still there. I say, God, I don't feel you right there like I used to, or I don't feel you like I want to. In every single instance, I could pinpoint to a specific moment. It didn't even have to be at a church service, just a specific moment where I decided to praise God and things begin to turn. Didn't mean I still didn't have to go through the problem. I still had to go through the pain, still had to go through the heartbreak. But I just began to praise God, and things in my spirit began to change. Because when things in your spirit begin to change in spite of the circumstance, let me just tell you, you'll be able to survive a lot of big things that come your way. And as I thought about it, and as I was recalling some of the moments that I've had with God, some of the greatest moments I've ever had in my walk and relationship with God were in the midst of bad seasons in my life. Because you get close to God, real close to God sometimes in bad seasons. And you turn towards him and you begin to pray prayers that you didn't know you had to pray or knew even knew how to pray. In bad seasons. It's like when the stomach bug comes through your house and man, you don't want to throw up. And so you start praying prayers and making deals with God. If this passes your house, and the Lord's like, man, you better be holding to that promise that you made me. But when you're in problems and in nightmare situations and it feels like there's no hope, you begin to praise God for things that you didn't know you were praising God for. You begin to remember things when you were a kid and say, God, thank you that I didn't fall off and scrape my knee on my bike. But then you start to recall real things that said, you know what, God, I remember that Wednesday night, or I remember that Tuesday night, I remember that Sunday night where I was so broken, where I was so hurting, and you just swooped in. Maybe it was through a song, maybe it was through a word, maybe it was through a friend, I don't know, but you just begin to recall the great things of God, and then all of a sudden you're saying, man, I've got to praise God, and you start to move from a posture of being on your face, and you start to lift your hands, and maybe you start to move a little bit. I don't know what it looks like for you, but I know for me that when I start to think about the goodness goodness of God and all that he's done for me, I can't help but say, you know what? I've got a great, I've got a big, I've got a mighty God. It is time to praise. So this evening, this altar call is for anybody that maybe you just need to get your praise back. You say, well, we just came off passing the mantle. You can still lose your praise after passing the mantle. Because the enemy comes in like a flood, whether it's passing the mantle or not. And when you start to say, God, in the midst of it, I'm still going to praise, I'm still going to worship, I'm still going to lift you up, then all of a sudden you can look and say, you know what? Just like David was able to say that the Lord was with us, and what the enemy saw was you standing eye level saying, you know what, devil? I'm still standing. What you meant for evil, God is going to turn it for good. I'm still standing. So this altar call tonight, if you just want to remind yourself that you can still stand, I open this altar to you. If you want to remind yourself that you can still praise, I open this altar call to you. If you just want to remind yourself and say, I want to look in a spiritual mirror tonight and remind myself that I can still make it, then this altar call is for you tonight. And here's what I feel that the Lord is going to do. There are some of us that tonight you're going to get your praise back, your voice to praise God. You're going to get it back tonight. Because the enemy has tried and tried and tried to stifle and to suffocate through every evil act. Just as the Bible said in our book, a text of Psalms 21, that the enemy laid out a big plan. But maybe you just need to remind yourself and encourage yourself in the Lord tonight that I can still stand, that I can still praise, that I can still worship. So right now, why don't we just lift our hands all across this place? And maybe you're standing here physically, but spiritually or in your soul, you're crumpled up and you're just wondering if you have enough strength to get back up spiritually. Let me just encourage you tonight. You are stronger than you realize because you have got the Lord on your side. Feels good. Why don't we just lift our voice here for just a moment? Why don't we just shout the name of Jesus? Why don't we just lift up a hallelujah? Why don't, whatever it looks like for you, why don't you just let your praises out right now? Why don't you just make a boast in a great God, in a mighty God, in a righteous God? Soto.